Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Well, good morning. Glad to be with you. This is the time of year, Advent, where the Corps officers have to sometimes bring in ringers. So I've heard it said at colleges and universities, sometimes they have to bring in adjunct professors, right? Which is Latin for as needed. You need some professors to teach a certain thing, so you bring them in adjunct, as needed. But I heard a professor say once they bring them in, universities adjunct professors. So that's kind of what we're doing here today. I'm not as needed. I'm just adding a junk preacher here today. But thank you to the Ryersons for this. Thank you, Roberta, for planning the service. We're praying for the Ryersons and the work that's happening at the Corps, as it is heavy. But welcome to the first Sunday of Advent. Can you believe it? We are here already. Look around. It's Christmas again. And we start Advent this year, funny enough, in a scripture here in Luke chapter 2. If you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles, please, and open them up. I'm the youth guy. That's mine and my wife's appointment. And it is funny, whenever I come up to preach, all the youth leave. That happens every time. But as a youth guy, I will allow you to use your phones today. So go ahead and pull those out if need to. But in Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be. But we start Advent this year with Jesus already born. Jesus is 8 days old here in our scripture this morning. So go ahead, please flip to the scripture that was read for us. Thank you, Heather. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be starting at verse 25. Now, we'll be looking this morning at a man named Simeon. Now, Simeon doesn't make it to the little nativity set. He wasn't there at Bethlehem for sure, but I think he should at least have a little figurine. Anna, the prophetess, who comes a little bit later in chapter 2, should have a figure as well. I mean, the three kings get in the nativity set. They just have better marketing, I suppose. But here in this scripture, Jesus is 8 days old, and we pick up in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 32. Look with me, please, again. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have been through many Advents. But Father, we ask that right now here at the very beginning, we ask that you open our hearts and our eyes anew to what you have to say to us. Lord, as it has been said throughout this whole service, Lord, we desperately clamor for your peace. And Father, will you please let your peace be upon us? Let our hearts be all is calm and all is bright. Lord, as we go about the rest of this, Lord, as we hear from you today, Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts and our eyes and our souls and spirits for what you have to say to us. May we all, like the prophet Samuel, say, "Speak, Lord, your servants are listening." We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are just three quick points that I want to share with you if you're keeping score at home and you want to write them down in your notes app. They all start with the letter P. And the first one is the word promised. He will do what he has promised. Again, verse 25 and 26, this man in Jerusalem named Simeon, righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation, waiting for the Messiah to come. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, "You will not die until you see the Lord's Christ." Simeon has been praying to see the Messiah for a long time.
The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't tell us how old Simeon is. But church tradition puts Simeon at 113 years old. Simeon's name literally means he has heard. And after praying all these years, waiting all these years, he has yet to hear. He has yet to see. But even though Simeon all these years is praying, Lord, let me see the Messiah, even though he can't see it, the Lord is moving in the timing of all this. I think we read through verse 28 too quickly. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, because it's this verse right here, verse 28, it's almost nonchalant. We just read right over it. The Messiah has come into the temple. The one who has been prayed for centuries, the whole this side of the book has been waiting for this moment for the Messiah to come into the temple. And here at verse 28, we just say it nonchalantly. Simeon took him in his arms and said, he's here. All of this centuries of praying, desperate prayers, Messiah, come and restore your people. And here is the answer to that prayer. Like Job, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. I think of Abraham here in this scripture, who was told, you will have a son of promise, but he tried to force his hand. He tried to push God forward in his timing, him and Sarah. And the Lord promised Abraham, you will have a son. But then the Lord goes quiet for 13 years. He goes quiet. He doesn't say anything else to Abraham for 13 years. Folks, we have been praying things for a long time. But just because we can't see him doesn't mean he's not moving. Doesn't mean he's not working. The Lord fulfills all of his promises in his timing. And he still does this today. But we live today in a culture of distraction and immediacy. In our prayers, we want our answers now. I get frustrated if I have to wait more than 12 seconds for an Instagram page to load. The Lord answers all prayers in his timing. But we live in a world of now. We want it now. And we live in a world of distraction. In our waiting, in our prayerful waiting, we distract ourselves and miss him. What would it have been if Simeon here in verse 27 had been distracted with somebody else and missed the Spirit moving, nudging him, saying, he's here. He's here in the temple. We assume God's silence is God's forgetfulness, and it can be nothing further from the truth. In our prayers, may we be persevering. In our prayers, may we be persevering. Like it tells us in Philippians, through prayer and petition, that word petition means to beg. We're begging him, asking him all the time to move. In Thessalonians, pray continually. Jesus himself told us the parable of the persistent widow who just kept knocking on the judge's door that she may get the justice that she needs. Well, may we be like that. I'm a big fan of the Chronicles of Narnia. And in the book, Prince Caspian, this takes place hundreds of years after The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Everybody's seen Lion, the Witch, Wardrobe. You've read the book. This takes place hundreds of years after that. And so, like, Peter, Susan, all those guys, Edmund, they're all gone. They're all back on our world or whatever we call it. But these centuries that have passed, the Narnians know they have Queen Susan's horn. And they know if we blow this horn, the prophecy says help will come. Well, of course, in Prince Caspian, bad things happen. There's an enemy army about to invade Narnia. And so they blow Queen Susan's horn. It's the last thing that they, last kind of ditch effort to be to for help to come. So it's in this moment, they blow the horn. Well, to Prince Caspian and his people, absolutely nothing happens. They blow the horn. They put the horn down. They're looking around. Nothing's there. But at that moment, the Pevensey children, Peter, Susan, Lucy, Edmund, they're drawn from our world. They're sucked back into Narnia. In those moments, they just land on the other side of the country. To Prince Caspian and those who have blown the horn, there is no answer. But help has come. So as the Pevensey children, the old kings and queens of Narnia, make their way to Prince Caspian, make their way across the country, they come to them finally in a cave, and behind a door they hear Prince Caspian talking with his advisors. And he says, and they all are arguing in this big moment, saying, "We blew this horn and no help has come. This is claptrap. This is worthless. Nothing has come to help us." And so one of these little dwarfs in this moment says, "You know what would help us? Let's bring back the White Witch. Let's bring her back. We can control her. We can fix all our problems if we bring this back." And then Truffle Hunter the Badger perhaps gets the, I can't believe I said that from a Salvage Army Paul, but Truffle Hunter the Badger gets perhaps the one of the best lines in all of the Chronicles of Narnia. He says this, "The help will come. The help will come. It may even now be at the door." And as they start to argue, weapons are drawn. And then after traveling all this way, as the badger says, "It may even now be at the door," the old kings and queens of Narnia enter the room. Gwinnett Corr, "As we blow the horn, it may seem quiet. No help is coming. No help. He has forgotten me. I've been praying this same prayer. I've been praying for this son or daughter, this grandchild for years, and no help is coming. It may be silent for months, years, Simeon, for years. And some of us have been praying that same prayer for years, but the king is at the door. The help will come. The help will come. It may even now be at the door." And Simeon feels that here in verse 27. The second thing that I want to share with you is the word peace. We've been talking about it all morning. He will give peace. The Spirit nudges Simeon that the Messiah has come. He's here. He's in the temple. Man, the emotion that Simeon must have felt in that moment. "I've been praying this for years, and now he's here. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, he has done it. He fulfills his promise. You now dismiss your servant in peace." Can we not pass over that word at verse 29? You now. Now is such a powerful word. He has given us a great gift of right now. Enjoy the now. See, here's where this, it hinges on this word now. Simeon has been waiting in anticipation, persevering in prayer, and now the Messiah is here in his arms. And then he says, "Dismiss your servant in peace." Simeon is released. Simeon is at rest. The reason Simeon is at peace and at rest is because the answer to his prayer is there in his arms. It's like Simeon is a watchman on the wall and he gets to go off duty. "What I've been watching for has come. May I take peace and rest in that." Warren Wiersbe, the famous Bible commentator, says that word "dismiss" there in verse 29, "You now dismiss your servant in peace." It gets brought up in four other images that we have in that Greek word "dismiss." Dismiss your servant in peace. It brings up four images. The first is when a prisoner is released. It brings up "dismissed" is used when a ship is untied and finally gets to go full sail. It's used when you take down a tent and move on to the next place. And the word "dismissed" is used when you unyoke an oxen or a donkey. We are dismissed in peace. Simeon is no longer waiting. He's at peace. He's at rest. I think my wife mentioned it earlier in our prayer time. Believers, church people, we claim his peace. We desperately want his peace all the time. And yet,
when we go into this season, we are all some of the least peaceful people in the world. We've got to get things done. It's Christmas. Don't you understand? It's on us. I have to pull off a great Christmas. I've got to do this. We have to take care of this ourselves. Enjoy the now. Enjoy the now. Be at peace. There's always something else. There's always the next thing to be worried about. And I would say, too, if we're honest, if I'm honest, I don't want to be dismissed in peace. I don't want to maybe, it feels like we're put out to pasture. But here, Simeon, I've been waiting for this. You've given it. And now, Father, dismiss in peace. Gwinnett Corr, Jesus has done the work. Jesus is doing the work. Can you hear me say this? It's not on you. It's not on you. Be at peace. We read the news. We're anxious. We see what's happening in the newspaper. We turn on the TV. There's a lot out there that has us concerned, that has us anxious, that this very morning we are weighed down with thinking about terrorism, war, the economy, the future, my children, what's going to happen. It's not on you. It's not on you. He doesn't have to do it our way. He doesn't owe you and me any explanation. But let your heart be at rest this morning. Let your heart be at peace. This Christmas season, when we're all trying to get the cookies done, the lights done, make a great time for our kids to do all of these things, to run through 50 to-do lists that have to be done with gifts and everything, enjoy the now. Stop fretting, killing yourself. Enjoy the now. Be at peace. We have a dog named Birdie. And when we were living in Florida, she used to was digging there for a short while under the fence of our backyard and getting out into the neighbor's fence. So I had the brilliant idea of buying one of those like 100-foot metal cables that, you know, you hook the dog up to so she couldn't get under the fence. So I go to the office, I come home one day, and the dog is laying on the ground all bound up, right? You know dogs. I mean, it's all over her legs, her chest, her muzzle, everything. She's just been laying out there chilling in the hot Florida sun, right? All tangled up. So I go out there to help her out, of course, right? And so as I'm going to get her untied, unbound, every time I go to help her, she wants to get out, so she expands, right? They just fight. So she's making herself bigger and thrashing about, and I can't get my hands inside the cord to untie it, to help her get out. She's thrashing about. And so finally, we have to pet her and get her to calm down. She had to relax before she could finally, I could get my hand underneath her to get her untied. She had to relax in the hands of her master before she could be untied. This Christmas season, with all of our anxiety, we are tied up. We are tied. We are entangled in the anxiety and the culture of today with all that we have going on. And the master wants to come and untie us, but every time we try to do it ourselves. I can fix myself. I can untie myself. If I can just make it this next week, if I can just get through this one more Christmas down, then I can be free. And the master says, be at peace, and I can untangle you. What situation in your life are you all entangled in? His answer, in his time, is our reason for peace. Last thing, last point here. So we've had promised, we've had peace, and now all people. Work with me, please. Verses 30 through 32 as Simeon finishes his little song here. You now dismiss your servant in peace, starting at verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon here speaks of salvation, the salvation Jesus will give. He's holding a baby in his arms, and yet he sees, Lord, I have seen your salvation. There's no cross yet. There's no blood yet. There's no grave yet. There's no empty tomb. But as Simeon holds this baby, it has been prepared.
Simeon sees this salvation coming. It's been prepared by the Lord. It's not earned. It's not seized for our own. But it's a light to all people. This salvation offer is laid bare to the entire world. Here, at the end of 2024, ladies and gentlemen, we look around our world and we say it's so dark. Gwinnett County, here at the end of 2024, the world is still coming to him. People are still being saved. The kingdom is still advancing forcefully in the world. The kingdom of God is still growing, though we might not perceive it. Literally watching College Game Day yesterday morning, and the guy says, "Here, we love Jesus the Christ." There are posters being put at a college football thing where Jesus is being proclaimed. I think about the Cowboy halftime show just this last Thursday, where it was the fifth largest viewing of all time. 39 million people saw the word salvation in the Salvation Army. The kingdom of God is still growing, is still advancing. I have to remind myself many times, folks, and let me personify here to the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army is still growing by leaps and bounds. Somebody once told me, and it's true, we have more senior soldiers, junior soldiers, and Salvation Army officers than at any time in our history. The Salvation Army is still growing. Internationally and in Africa, I mean, in the Indonesia territory, they have to create new divisions to keep up with all the growth. The Salvation Army and the kingdom of God are still advancing forcefully in the world. Salvation is still being offered. People are still coming and being made clean and whole in him. And sometimes we look around us and say, where is it? Why isn't it happening? And it is. It is. We don't see the results that we think we should see in the building of his kingdom and the audacity that we have. When Simeon is standing here and he holds Jesus and he speaks these words, where is he? He's standing in the temple courts, the very place that the temple, this temple has assigned places. You're not Jewish? Okay, you can come this far, but you can't go any farther than that. This is your place for you. This is for court of the Gentiles. You can't come closer than this. Oh, and you're a woman? Okay, you can come this far, but you can't come any closer than this. It's in this place where people are put because of what they are that Simeon holds the baby that says, you will be a light for all people, not just these over here. You guys, everyone can come to him now. This Christmas season, look in the small things. Look, please, for the small things on how the kingdom is still growing. Look for the glimpses of his kingdom this Christmas season for all people. That word Gentile here, the word literally means a heathen or a pagan. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. The gospel is still for those who you and I consider heathen, consider pagan. As we get ready to finish, can I dare you to do something? As a youth guy, I love to give dares. And here's what I dare you to do. I want you in your head, or whoever you're thinking about, to pick the most foul-mouthed, mean as a snake, crudest person that you can think of in your life. They may be in your very own family. They may be a neighbor. They may be a dictator that you see on TV. I want you to pick the meanest person you could think of. And I dare you to begin today to pray for their salvation. Tom Terrence. I heard a story recently about a gentleman named Tom Terrence. He was a terrorist for the KKK, for the Ku Klux Klan. His job, his literal job for this was, he set the clocks on the bombs and put them in the mailboxes of Jewish families. This was what he did. And of course, he was caught and he went to jail. And while he was in jail, an African-American inmate saw this man and invited him to work in the kitchen with him. But over time, they became friends. And he introduced Tom to Jesus. And Tom was gloriously saved and eventually released, went to seminary, became a pastor, and retired recently as the head of the C.S. Lewis Institute. The kingdom, the gospel, is advancing to all people. The Lord is calling all people to him, even those people. As Josh plays for us here, I'd like to ask you questions as we get ready to finish this up. You've been praying, perhaps like Simeon, about a certain thing for what feels like forever. Maybe it's a family member who doesn't know him. Maybe it's just something going on in your life. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't give up. Keep persevering. Like that badger, the help will come. The help will come. It may even now be at the door. Perhaps as Josh plays, you want to come to this place and just pray for them again. This thing that has just been on your heart and soul for years. I bring you to him here again. Don't give up. Perhaps as we start Advent, you would say, we've been talking about peace this morning, and that is the farthest thing from my heart and soul this morning. That is the farthest thing from my life. You're desperate for peace? He'll give it. He'll give it. We need only ask. A prisoner released. A ship loosed from the dock and free to sail. A tent collapsed and ready to move on. A shoulder unburdened. And lastly, it's for the sight of all people, this gospel. Jesus came for you and for me. Though Simeon holds him in his arms, there is a cross looming. There is blood looming. There is a grave looming. But there's an empty tomb on the horizon. Josh is playing the words to the song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Maybe that is your prayer this morning. As Josh plays, we're going to places here. You want to come and pray for that person again? You want to pray for that mean cuss that we've been talking about that you just want to say, Lord, I need you to work in their lives? I dare you to be praying for them. You want that peace? Do you want that come long expected Jesus? I need to see you. I need to feel you. I need to know. Though I have heard of you, like Job said, though I have heard of you, now my eyes have seen you. Any need at all, you come to this place.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.